we gather around this baptismal font that reminds us of Jesus Christ, the one who was baptized for our sakes in the River Jordan, and who heard God say to him at that moment, "You are my beloved," and we, my friends, hear that said to us each and every day, that we are indeed God's beloved. On this Easter Sunday morning, I greet you with these words that are printed in the bulletin: Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you.
The Hallelujah chorus reminds us that he shall live forever and ever because Christ is risen, death is defeated. Christ is with us here now in all the power and love that he has set loose in the world. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship? With the faithful throughout the world today, we declare, with those who have wept and who mourn, we declare, with those fearful of the future, we declare, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Let us worship together on this glorious Easter Sunday morning. Let us pray. With all of creation, with your people throughout time, with the heavenly angels and with all your people spread throughout your world today, God, we cry out, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, and with alleluias we sing your praises. God, as we gather in this place this morning, bathed in beauty and light, bathed in glorious color, with the colors of the flowers delighting our senses with their fragrance tickling our noses. God, with all that speaks of new life and beauty and wonder, we worship you, for Christ has risen, and we ask, God, that the risen Christ would meet with us each and every one and fill our lives with hope and joy, with love eternal. God, we pray these things in your Son's name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. And a very warm welcome into this place that is indeed bathed in beauty and in light, and also has the wonderful aroma of these beautiful spring flowers decorating our sanctuary this morning. They're beautiful. They smell lovely. If you have allergies, I suggest you sit a little farther back than you sit this morning. But they are beautiful. They are given in honor and in memory of the people whose names are mentioned in our bulletin. Thank you to all who have donated these plants. Thank you to those who decorated the sanctuary yesterday. If you have ordered one of these plants through giving them in memory or in honor of someone, please do help yourself to one as you leave the sanctuary this morning. After morning worship through this door here into Irman Hall, you will find further fellowship where there will be donuts and kringle and all sorts of goodies served as we celebrate Easter. Know that you are most welcome here in this sanctuary, and you're welcome for fellowship afterwards also. You notice under our announcements, if I could just draw attention to one or two of these announcements, the daytime circle. If you could please note that we are having a Passover Seder this coming Thursday, and this is open to anyone. Please do bring along a bag lunch and stay for a time of fellowship and friendly conversation. Ginny. So if you could let Ellen know if you're coming, and forget every word I said about bringing a bag lunch. I should have known better. We're Presbyterians. Of course food is going to be provided. Also, if there are any Easter bunnies in the congregation, and I have a suspicion that there are a number of Easter bunnies who are very good at hiding Easter eggs, if you could remain in your seats following worship so that you could hide Easter eggs for our bigger bunnies. Boys and girls, wave your hands. Oh, you're shy. No, you're too big, Pete. If you could go into the chapel immediately following worship and stay there until you're told that you can come into the sanctuary and search for your Easter eggs. Once again, welcome to worship. Whoever you are, wherever you have come from, know that in this place you are indeed most welcome.
Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. We come now before the one who raised Christ from the grave, who gathers and welcomes us here, whose spirit of resurrection moves in our midst, extending God's love and God's grace. I ask that you come to confess our sins, that we come to confess our sins and failings, to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we join the chorus sung in heaven and on earth, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. May the love of Christ rise within us today and make us more loving toward others. May the peace of Christ rise within our lives, knowing that our sins are forgiven. May the grace of Christ rise within our lives so that we may live graciously and humbly. May the strength of Christ rise within us today that we may set aside all doubt and fear, all worry and anxiety. May the power of Christ rise within us that we may go into the world to proclaim the good news that death has been defeated and that love will live forever. from Paul's letter to the church at Rome and to the church here in Racine. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, so we too might walk in newness of life. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new is now here. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. And let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you raised Christ from the dead and that his power of love and forgiveness is set loose in this world and speaks even this day into our hearts and into our lives. Let us rejoice in knowing that love has conquered death, that hatred has conquered fear. Let us know, God, that in you is life and forgiveness and hope and peace. And may these gifts descend upon our lives this day. Amen. I need 10 helpers. Any 10 helpers. Logan, out you come. Ben. Come on down. I think we're going to have more than 10. Oh, 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Come on down. How many do we have? I think you need to stand up here. Can you do that? Hey, how are you? Follow the leader. Up we go. Okay. Oops, careful. You okay? Right. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Come on, Lila. Don't fall. It's okay. We're waiting for you. We're not going anywhere. I promise. Okay. I have some signs here. Oh, right. Okay. They can be bookends. There we go. That'd be good. Right. I'm going to ask you to hold these signs. You need to hold them up nice and high. Okay, we're only going to go that far. Come on down. You can help Lila at the end. I love your hat. That's just fantastic. I would hold on to that because I like it so much that I might take it away. Is that okay? Yeah? Thank you. You're very kind. So, what does this sign say? Curves ahead. Curves ahead. So last Sunday we thought about Jesus going towards Jerusalem and there were kind of some curves in the head, were there not? Curves ahead in the road as he journeyed towards Jerusalem. He knew that he was going towards certain death. And Jesus could have said, what could Jesus have said? I'm going to take a detour. If it had been you and you knew you were going towards crucifixion, hands up if you would have taken a detour. Yeah. But Jesus didn't. Jesus knew there was no what? There was no U-turn. There was no turning back. Jesus was headed in one direction and one direction only. Where was Jesus headed to? A cross. Jesus was headed towards a cross, which really everyone thought was going to be what? Oh, they're nice and high. A dead end. If you had seen your friend who had taken this really curvy road towards Jerusalem, you would have probably taken a detour or a U-turn. You would have turned in the opposite direction, but Jesus said, nope, I am setting my face towards Jerusalem and I am going towards a cross. Would you have thought that Good Friday was the dead end? Hands up if you had been there, if you would have thought it's a dead end. Absolutely. The man was dead, for goodness sakes. Jesus was dead. But then, there was a whole turn roundabout. A whole turn roundabout, because Jesus rose up from the dead. Who could ever have believed it? This was an about turn. Jesus had risen up and he said, my friends, there's only one way to go now. And that's forward. The one way to go is to follow me. Jesus said, there will be bumps in the road. Do you find that there are bumps in the road in your journey of faith? Hands up if you find there are bumps in the road. Because I think there are lots of bumps in the road. There are ups and there are downs. But Jesus is alive. And so when Jesus calls us to take this one way of following him, Jesus says, don't worry, because I'm going to share the road with you. I am going to share the road with you. You're not going to be alone, because my roundabout has turned roundabout. Oh, there we go. There was a whole turn roundabout. Jesus was alive. And he said, yes, there's one way, and there's going to be bumps along the way. But it's okay, because I'm going to share the road with you. Now, I'm really glad that we've got three at the end, because I need three to hold this one. Because it's three letters. So what about if you hold it there, and then you put one hand there, and you put one hand there, and you hold it really, really high. Really, 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 really high. What does this sign say? JCT. What does JCT stand for? Junction. Not in this church, it doesn't. Not in this church, it doesn't. Because Jesus says, I'm going to share the road with you. There might be bumps, but there's only one way to go. And as you journey through that road of life, wherever the road takes you, you don't come to junctions. You remember that on this Easter Sunday, this stands for Jesus Christ triumphs. Amen. My friends, the journey of life is difficult. There are bumps along the way, and sometimes it looks like we reach a dead end. But Christ is risen. Christ turned everything round about, and he said, I am going to be with you. I'm going to share the road with you. There are going to be bumps along the way. But Easter Sunday reminds you that Jesus Christ triumphs. And wherever the road of life takes you, whatever your age, remember this, Jesus Christ triumphs. And Jesus Christ is with us all. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to my helpers. Big round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks. That's great. Thank you. 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 Oh, I think the choir are going to take your place now. So if I were you, I would get back to your seats. the one Sunday that's really warm in here and I decide to get dressed for the occasion. Oh. And don't say it's my age. It's lovely to welcome so many people into worship on this Easter Sunday morning. We gather because we want to believe that this is true, that Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. It's hard for us to comprehend what does this really mean? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us right now? Imagine how difficult it is for children to understand what this means. A Sunday school teacher was trying to teach her class about Easter Sunday morning, and she was talking about Jesus having risen and how the tomb was empty, the stone had been rolled away, and she was really getting excited about it, and she was trying to fire the imagination of her Sunday school class. As she spoke to them, she said, "Boys and girls, when Jesus came out of the tomb, what do you think were the first words that Jesus said?" Have you ever wondered about that? What were the first words that Jesus said? So the children were sitting there and they were getting carried away by this whole image of Jesus having risen up and the empty tomb. And one little girl is jumping up and saying, "Pick me, pick me, pick me. I know what Jesus said." And the Sunday school teacher looked at her and said, "Okay, dear, what did Jesus say when he came out of the tomb? What was the first thing he said?" And with arms splayed and feet splayed, she jumped up and she said, "Jesus said, ta-da!" And you know what? I think she's right. Ta-da! Look at me! I'm alive! Ta-da! Has that sense of astonishment and wonder and joy. You know, as I go through each week, I am astonished. I wonder if you are too. I'm astonished by what I see unfolding in our world. I'm astonished to see a man dragged off a plane when he's paid for a ticket. I'm astonished to watch the footage yesterday on BBC News of North Korea showing off their arsenal of missiles. I'm astonished. I'm astonished that a bus taking children to be evacuated from war-torn Aleppo is hit by a bomb. I'm astonished. I'm astonished that people gather in a church or in churches in the Coptic tradition in Egypt, and there in the safety of a sanctuary, they're killed. I am astonished that we live in a world where we take life so easily. I need to come here today, and I need to be astonished about something that speaks not of death and of violence, but of something that speaks of life and of love and of hope. And my friends, that's what the resurrection speaks about. Christ rising and saying, "Ta-da! Here I am. My power and my love is set loose in the world once and for all, and not even death is going to stop the power of love." I need to hear Jesus saying, "Ta-da." And I need to be astonished to know that love and life are always going to have the last word. Let us hear about the resurrection of Christ as we read it in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16. This is a curious version to read because it's very short and Jesus doesn't actually appear. And Jesus doesn't say anything either. So you have to make it up what he says. And let me tell you, that's a challenge because it's really asking, what is the resurrected Christ saying in your life today? Where is the resurrected Christ calling you today? This is how it happened according to St. Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying one to the other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Amen. And thanks be to God. A terrible thing happened one year on Easter Sunday, and I'm sure it would never happen here, Alejandro. The organist overslept and totally missed the Easter Sunday services. You can imagine that the pastor was not best pleased. You can also imagine that his colleagues and the choir spent the next year teasing him about missing Easter Sunday. On the next Easter Sunday morning, the pastor decided that this was never going to happen again. And so at 4 o'clock in the morning, the pastor got up and phoned the organist. When the organist answered the phone, the pastor proclaimed to him, "Christ is risen, and I suggest that you do likewise." Christ is risen. I wouldn't want to miss this Sunday morning. For this Sunday morning speaks of life. In a world that so often speaks of death and violence and destruction, this morning speaks of life. It speaks of the power of love set loose in the world, never, ever, ever to be overcome again. I wouldn't want to miss this Sunday morning. When people gather throughout Christendom, throughout the entire world, and long for this to be true, that God has overcome the powers of death and has risen up in the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of love has been set loose for all time. I wouldn't want to miss this. But I think it's a curious thing, because in Mark's gospel, this wonderful, wonderful news, the Marys see the news. They see the empty tomb. And the curious thing is that they don't say anything to anyone. That's a curious thing. This has just been the most amazing thing that has happened to them, and they do not say anything to anyone. And I wonder about that. And then I think perhaps it's because what happened is beyond words. We can't really explain what happened. And I'm not going to stand here this Easter Sunday morning and try and explain to you what happened. But what I am going to say is that these women didn't need to say anything. They lived the resurrection. They knew that the power of the risen Christ was in their lives. They didn't need to tell people about it. They lived the resurrection. They went ahead as Jesus had told them. And they and the disciples went into the world and they shared that good news with others. Mark's gospel leaves us hanging. What happened next? My friends, what happens next is what we are going to do about the resurrection. What are we going to do about the risen Christ? You know, Chaim Potok is a novelist, and Chaim Potok, when he was a little boy, kept on saying to his mom, "I want to be a novelist. I want to write books." And his mom, as many moms do, didn't think that was good enough for her son. She wanted her son to be a brain surgeon. She wanted her son to be a brain surgeon, and Chaim Potok went off to college and he studied literature, and every time he came back home, his mom would say, "Chaim, Chaim, you're wasting your life. I want you to be a brain surgeon." She said, "Just think about it, Chaim. You could stop people from dying, and you could earn lots and lots of money." And Potok says that one vacation he said to his mom, he said, "Mom, I don't want to stop people from dying. I want to teach people how to live." Christ, the risen Christ, teaches us how to live. We, my friends, are the living image of the resurrection. When we live our lives in the way that Christ calls us to live, we are living witnesses to the resurrection. When in a world that shows hate and division and war, we make for love and unity and peace. What's next? Says my sermon title. What's next? Matthew's gospel is left hanging because it's up to you and to me to write the next chapter of the story of the risen Christ, the Christ who taught us how to live. Let the world look at us and be astonished by the way we live our lives, loving one another, caring for one another, forgiving one another, and seeking always the way of peace. Thanks be to God. I invite the ushers to now uplift the offering. Please be seated. We gather here around this table that reminds us of Jesus Christ, who in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he took wine, he broke it and he poured out the wine, and he said, "This meal is for you. It's for you. It's for each and every one of us." And you're invited to come to this table to remember the risen Christ, whose power is at work in your lives and in the life of the world, and in the life of the world through you, through your loving, through your kindness, through your making peace. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, come to this table, because at this table you are most welcome.
In addition to the prayer concerns as they are printed in the bulletin, we ask that you hold in prayer as well Evelyn Gayhart, who has moved to a new residence, the family of Myron Stahl, who died last week, and Kay Mall, who had some dizziness and has been taken to the hospital last evening for testing. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. God of death-defying surprises, in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, you gift us with a glimpse of your miraculous power, an unfathomable wonder and mystery. So long with the earth now awakening from winter slumber and practicing its own resurrection, along with the far corners of the universe stretched beyond the telescope's eye, where stars and angels sing hymns, along with the immeasurable ocean depths prowled by creatures known only to you, with the pulsating universe embraced by the atom, with saints above and scattered throughout the world on this great and glorious day, we lift our hearts and minds and voices in praise and gratitude to you for your eye-popping, rib-tickling, mind-stunning gifts of death's final defeat in Christ's resurrection, and your unconditional love for us. We come this day, O God, to praise you and to pray to you for our world. In his last week, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept because again and again it had failed to practice the ways of peace. And 2 millennia later, we confess we have not learned enough to make a difference. Too often we dismiss your commandment to love one another and to love our enemies as foolish and unrealistic. Too often we sow seeds of mistrust and fear and then harvest a whirlwind of division and violence and hatred, and our fear and mistrust deepen. Too often we have become skilled at crucifying your dreams and hopes and love for our world and enclosing them in tombs of our own making. Remove from us, O God, the fear that narrows our minds and hardens our hearts. Transform and strengthen us that we not faint in the pursuit of justice and compassion and peace for one and for all. Grant us patience and persistence in prayer, so that day may soon dawn when we see Christ in our neighbor and in our world. We are a people, God, as you well know, who like to be in control. And yet you summon us into the mystery and unknowing of your unfolding future. Help us to trust that there is no tomorrow we live into that you are not already there, and that you will satisfy our every need. As you have prepared this table, O God, prepare us to be faithful disciples for your next act. Plant seeds of resurrection life and hope in us. Awaken in us the power that we have because you are in us. And so that where there is pain, we may bring healing. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is division, reconciliation. Where there is betrayal, forgiveness. And may our actions and our words always reveal and convey your love and your grace. We pray these things in the name of the one who suffered and died and rose again and taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same manner also Jesus took the cup, and as it was being poured out, he said, "This is as my blood, which is shed for you, shed that your sins might be forgiven. When you drink of it, remember me." These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God, and this table has been set for you for all eternity. We invite you to come forward to take of the bread and to dip it in the wine, as you are directed so to do by the ushers. Please join with me in the prayer that's printed in the bulletin. Living God, on this day of resurrection, may we rise to new life, strengthened by the bread of life. May we find refreshment and forgiveness in the wine we have shared. Remind us over and again that you are Lord of life, with us forever, loving us without limit, and blessing us all the days of our life. Amen. May you go into the world with these words on your lips: Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, and that your task now is to make the presence of the risen Christ known in this world. And as you go into the world, may the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may these blessings descend upon you, upon those most dear to your heart in this life and the next, and may these blessings of God be upon each and every person throughout this world today, and may these blessings remain with us all forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
May the peace of the risen Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Would you greet one another in peace?